Hi, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. I'm Marcus Robertson, writer for Becker's Healthcare. Today, I am pleased to be joined by Michael Spencer. Michael serves Conifer as Senior Director of Patient Access Operations and National Patient Access Strategic Initiatives. He brings nearly 20 years of healthcare leadership with experience as a multi-site patient access director and back office support services director. He has a proven track record for driving performance and improving efficiency and patient satisfaction using analytics and Lean Six Sigma tools and initiatives. Thank you so much for being here today, Michael.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. With that, let's go ahead and jump in. And I'd like to talk first about digital patient engagement, but to frame this a little bit, you joined Conifer in early 2020, just before COVID hit the U.S. Obviously, the last 2 years have had a profound impact, but can you talk a little bit about the evolution of digital patient engagement in healthcare? You know, where have we been? Where do things stand now? And maybe what are some of the factors driving growth?
Yeah, and I really appreciate the question because I think this is a fascinating topic and study as we think about the evolution of technology in general in the world that we live in and how that's influenced healthcare. And I think where my thoughts go first is just look at the expansion, the proliferation of use of smartphones that exist to the average consumer nowadays, and how that has absolutely driven every interaction with consumers in every industry throughout our world that we live in, and how that now opens up doors to those of us in healthcare to leverage that technology via those platforms. The other thing that I think about is that, you know, in general healthcare, yes, we have some amazing technologies that are fantastic, are cutting edge, but certainly we are behind the times with other things. I mean, I think we're one of the only industries out there that still use fax machines, and so, you know, we definitely have opportunities to take a page out of the playbook of Amazon, of you know, Lyft and Uber, other self-service applications. I mean, you think about Uber Eats, or I can order something from my local department store and pull up to a curbside pickup slot and have them bring it right out to me, whether it's, you know, food or some hardware or, you know, clothing from a department store. And it is just absolutely amazing, this world that we live in. And so what has happened now is consumers are thriving and are just gobbling up this technology and this convenience factor that it brings to them. And here's healthcare, and we're lagging behind. And I think we really, really need to step up. And we've started to do that. Absolutely. So, but even then, I think there's wrinkles of how and where does this evolvement into digital patient engagement start, and where does it go from there? So it usually starts with more simple practices in, like, with a dentist office or maybe a primary care physician or a specialist, where you can easily plug in technologies, a single integration, and be able to turn on these technologies that allow us to engage with patients. You know, and I should probably pause. I mean, digital patient engagement may mean something different to the listeners of this podcast. So when I say it, let me define what that means. Digital patient engagement means technologies that allow us to engage with patients via non-traditional methods, meaning historically non-traditional methods, in order to do data gathering, consent capture, IDs, insurance cards, payment capture, those elements that are part of the financial clearance of the patient's account, all via unaided self-guided platforms that are available to the patient at their convenience. This is about meeting the patient where they're at, instead of, you know, old school ways of doing things, which means I'm going to call you up on the phone, and if you don't answer, you don't get pre-registered. So those are definitely times of the past. So now back to this expansion of digital patient engagement within healthcare has started it with your individual practices or maybe multi-specialty clinics, maybe even your dentist, but acute care facilities are still lagging behind here. And I'm excited that at Conifer, we are finally taking these steps and we are rolling this out across our enterprise. And why is it so delayed? Because some of the additional integrations that are required, we have multiple systems that we have to plug this into. So again, I've been in this industry for 20 plus years, almost all of that specifically on the front end, on the patient facing side. And this is really just something that is long overdue, but it just gives me, it sends chills up my spine thinking about what this can do to advance our patient interactions and really truly finally provide something that is industry leading and is really something, you know, for, to be very matter of fact, something that patients are now starting to come to expect of any healthcare provider, whether it's a hospital or a practice.
Yeah, you know, companies like Amazon, Lyft, and Uber you mentioned are, you know, kind of setting a standard for, you know, the service level that consumers engage on. Everybody has a computer in their pocket, like you said, a lot of these trends driving adoption. I wonder if you might tell us a little bit about some other trends you see driving growth of these platforms and how do they benefit patients and hospitals outside of those, you know, more simple practices that we see adopting them now?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I think that in healthcare in general, we've dabbled a little bit in this. We've made attempts to venture into this space a little bit in the past, and some of those have not been as well received, which is strange. So, you know, here's a good example. Anyone who travels now knows when you go into the airport and you check in to, you know, either check in and get a ticket for your bag. I mean, you go to a kiosk and it's very simple. It's very user-friendly. It spits out a ticket. Most of the time we're tagging our own bag and then you drop it off with an agent. And so these have been around for several years now. And we had attempted to do some similar approaches to take this approach in healthcare in the hospitals. You know, unfortunately, kiosks weren't as well received by patients. And so, you know, lesson learned, just because it works in one industry does not always necessarily make it work in our own industry. And so we had to examine, like, what is the difference? Why does the kiosk work in the airport versus it lacks that adoption, that utilization in our practices or in our hospitals? And so things we had to start asking ourselves was the ease of use. What is the user interface or the user experience look like and feel like? And granted, like, absolutely right there, there's a big difference when you're checking in a bag versus registering yourself. It's a much more involved process to register yourself for a service. Many more questions, many more screens, you're uploading documents, signing forms, making a payment, you know, and so, you know, that is definitely a distinguishing factor. I think in general, there's a marketing aspect here, right? How do you get the word out and communicate to your patients that this is technology that's available and set that expectation that this is something that you can and should do? You know, in a continuing with this analogy, right? In an airport, you see a long line and you can either stand in that line or you can step up to this kiosk and get some immediate service, immediate attention. And so it kind of lends itself to you just making a decision. And sometimes, yes, there's, you know, agents that can kind of guide you. So how do we replicate that, or how do we drive the message of, hey, here's something that's new, you can use this. How do we drive the patient towards that utilization? We do things like sending text messages out to patient. Hey, Mr. Spencer, you have an appointment on such and such date. Please take time to click on this link and complete your registration before you arrive. And so what do those messages look like? How inviting is it? Is it legitimate? Does it appear to be legitimate to the patient? Or, you know, we all know we're bombarded with spam. Are those things that we have to, those are things that we have to consider when we think about driving patient adoption and utilization. And then the few other things I'll mention here, two more, ease of access and the platforms on which we use to engage with our patients. So meaning it has to work on your cell phone. It has to work on a laptop if you're checking it, you know, checking yourself in on a laptop. What are some things and some factors that we may need to consider there, right? If you're doing this in the facility, do you have cell phone connectivity in the walls of a hospital? Do you have a strong guest Wi-Fi network? And then as far as the platform, anything that requires the patient to take additional action that is not progress can be a barrier of entry. And let me be specific. If it's an app that you have to download, or if it requires you to set up a user ID and password, I mean, I don't know about you, but anytime I go and I order something online from a new website or a new vendor, I think twice before I have to enter in my information to create another user ID and password. And so we don't want that to be a barrier as well to our patients stepping away from using this technology, because there are those barriers of utilization. So we've been very particular about how we design this interaction, the questions that we're asking the patient. Are they all absolutely necessary for the revenue cycle and for the billing process, a clean claim to be submitted? And then very particular about what is the user experience? What does it look like? How do you navigate through the screens? How do you navigate the drop-down options, et cetera? So I think we have a very good product that we're excited to roll out to our hospitals.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I would have to agree with you about, you know, things like online shopping. The average person has so many login credentials to keep up with. And it sounds like Conifer has kept that in mind and kind of tried to minimize that burden. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No app to download, no user ID and password. You know, and if I can comment on that, since you brought it up, it's because I don't want the listeners of this podcast to think that we're sacrificing security, right? So we have two-factor authentication. We ask the patient to validate their date of birth. Maybe if they're on a cell phone, they're getting a text message code, and then they're entering that in, or they're validating another piece of sensitive information, like maybe it's an address, or they're entering the last four of their social. Like, there are ways to still maintain security without requiring another user ID and password.
So yeah, maintaining security without having to have your patients keep up with things like, yeah, login and credentials, a password, another password. And so Conifer is kind of focusing on ease of use, ease of access, you know, the patient experience. So with that in mind, what's next? What is the future of digital engagement in healthcare going to look like?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously have a lot of thoughts here, so I'll try and keep this one a little to the point. I think we need to focus on deep integration with this type of technology. And in order to get this rolled out and have more and more hospitals, you know, consider that this is a worthwhile endeavor, they have to understand it's a pretty heavy lift in order to turn something like this on. So they have to be committed to dedicating the IT or IS resources in order to build the integrations to turn this on. And then from the staff perspective, if it's not integrated, meaning I can gather information from the patient, but if it does not feed back into my system, because it's a bolt-on tool or something to that effect, and it requires staff to swivel chair and do data entry back in the record of truth, then, you know, everything's at risk here, right? The staff are dissatisfied, and it may not necessarily bring the efficiency gains. You only get one side of the equation. If this thing is not integrated well into the environment, a deep integration, meaning that if staff have to swivel chair and do this data entry into their host ADT system or EMR or PM system, then the adoption is going to suffer here. There are really two main components to drive or to make the decision to adopt this type of technology. And one is improvement in your patient satisfaction and patient experience in general, but absolutely the flip side of that coin, and we have to always consider, is what does this bring to improving and advancing our operations, whether it's, you know, efficiency gains or quality of data gathering, because we now have the resources to get our arms around the volumes that we see every single day. Maybe another thing to comment on here is that there's a lot of red tape in healthcare, and understand that from, you know, network security, from a network security perspective, or just getting approval to do a project. I mean, there's red tape and procedures. And so, you know, some of those are antiquated, and absolutely some of them are still needed, but we've got to be able to have the gumption to say this is a worthwhile endeavor, to cut through that red tape, to get the approvals and move forward. And then the last thing I'll mention is, this one's a little bit less easy to control, but absolutely there are some governmental-based regulatory requirements that drive inefficiencies and waste within healthcare. And, you know, similarly, yes, I'll be fair. Many of these things are very beneficial and they drive quality of outcomes. But there are definitely some antiquated regulatory requirements that as a healthcare industry, it would be much easier to deliver this type of technology by cutting out some of the, you know, antiquated or archaic processes, things that we have to gather data on and just report it to a government agency for, you know, because we've always done it that way for years and years. So these are the next steps, in my opinion, is organizations out there need to ask themselves these questions. Are they up to the challenge? Are they willing to take on the task of getting the approvals and cutting through the red tape and moving forward with this? And then I think we need to start partnering together across the aisle, healthcare organizations together, and being able to identify, you know, what are maybe some changes that we can and should be making as an industry to streamline this data gathering requirements from our patients.
So a few things at play shaping how this is going to look in years to come. Bureaucracy, no small part of that, but sounds like in the future we can expect, beside a focus on using digital patient engagement to improve the patient experience, but an emphasis on how that can as well improve operations. So, Michael, do you have any, key takeaways for our audience or closing thoughts to wrap this in a bow before we sign off?
I would emphasize that there is absolutely an ROI here. Many organizations in healthcare don't move forward with things because they have limited capital, or they're trying to focus on where to spend that capital. And most of the time it goes to things like that new MRI machine or an expansion of our OR, because those are revenue generating services or tools that generate revenue. Don't underestimate that there is an ROI on improving patient satisfaction. And there are documented studies out there that show X percentage of, Prescani scores or HCAP scores will yield, a certain percentage increase of revenue. But this is beyond that. Some of this is convenience factor, but there absolutely is a two-sided benefit here that will more than compensate, for the investment in this technology. And that is the patient-facing, patient satisfaction, patient convenience component, as well as staff efficiency gains. Either one of those sides alone should be more than enough to justify investment in this type of technology. But both of them together make it a no-brainer, in my opinion. And then the last thing I'll just reemphasize is be smart about it. And Conifer, we know our business, we know revenue cycle, especially, and we have people at the table at this project that are not new to rev cycle and patient access. And so building it in a way and building the deep integrations are going to ensure that we can drive staff adoption and then help our patients be successful with, adopting the technology as well. So I can't say it enough. I'm super excited. I've been waiting 20 plus years to have something like this, and to now be at this point, rolling it forward is just a dream come true to me. So happy to share it with the world.
Well, we want to thank you so much, Michael, for your time and the really great discussion today. I want to thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
I'd like to thank Conifer as well for sponsoring this episode. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page.